Good morning, Midland First. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve here as the lead pastor. On behalf of everyone who is helping to lead worship this morning, whether you're with us here in the sanctuary or joining us on the church's live stream or later in the week, we welcome you to our time together in worship. May we continue to encounter the risen Lord as we worship today and throughout the Easter season. As we begin our worship today, I want to highlight a few announcements that you'll find either in your bulletins or in our weekly e-blasts from the church office. I'm going to start with handing things off to Fritz Hyde, who serves as our mission team leader. Fritz?
Good morning. My name's Fritz Hyde. Most of you know me as the mission chair. The mission team would like to invite anyone and everyone to a meeting at 11:30 in the chapel after service back in, behind us over by the pond. We'll have online on Zoom Temba Nkomazepi, who is the missionary there at Missoula Falls. He will be giving us a presentation and an overview of what Missoula Falls Ag Center is all about. On June 9th, my best friend from college, Dirk Taylordine, and I will be going to see Temba beyond the commission because he is 5 hours from the closest gas station. If you come to the presentation, you will also get to hear the story about my bling today. My bling is called the Fritz Fly, and there's a really, really good story, but you have to come to the presentation to hear it. Thank you very much. Hope to see you at 11:30.
All right. So whether you want to learn more about one of the missionaries we support or you're a fly fisherman, come to the event after worship in the chapel. I also want to highlight a gathering here in our community on the National Day of Prayer. That is Thursday, May 1st. On that day, in front of the Midland County Courthouse, across from the church, from noon to 1, there will be a community gathering. I invite you to this time together of prayer, whether you wish to stay for the entire hour or to stop by, bring that to your attention this morning. Also want to highlight two announcements that you'll find in your weekly e-blast, and they are connected to our United Women in Faith. We are having our spring rummage sale this week, Monday through Wednesday, with help needed for today. And so I encourage you to support that ministry of our United Women in Faith. And then next Sunday, also after worship in the chapel, our United Women in Faith are featuring the outreach of the United Methodist Community House in Grand Rapids. There's a lot more information in the e-blast, so I encourage you to view that to be a part of those programs of our United Women in Faith. Lastly, I'm going to hand things off to Tyler Morris, who serves as our choral program director, with an introduction.
Hello, good morning. As you were coming into worship today, you may or may not have noticed that the person that was playing our pre-service music on the piano was in fact not Gabrielle Cook McElvenna. No, that is Dr. Carl Angelo, who is subbing for us today. And Carl is the choir accompanist, the collaborative accompanist at SVSU at Saginaw Valley. And he's also a retired church musician, both from the Saginaw area and from the Flint area. So we have Carl with us today. And so thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Tyler. And so now I'm going to invite us to stand and to greet one another. If you'll remain standing after our greeting time for a Carl call to worship, we will enter into our time together with the bell. Thank you.
Okay, please remain standing and join me in the call to worship. As the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us. But here and now, let us worship together. Let us adore our Maker, Redeemer, and Friend. It is His good pleasure that we live for and in which we find our life. May His scars, visible in His resurrected body, remind us that He loves us and stir in us deeper trust and belief. Every name made Himself lower than the angels so that we can be more like Him and dwell where He is. Thanks be to God. Please remain standing and join us in the hymn, Thine Be the Glory, number 308.
It's time for the kids to come forward to be blessed. It's good to see everybody here today. I think I know all of you. Okay. Today we're going to learn about Saul, who saw God in a very big way. When Saul saw God, he was changed from a bad man who wanted to hurt all the followers of Jesus to a godly man who went far and wide to share the good news about Jesus, grow the new church, and even got a new name. We don't need to see God in a big way like Saul did. God shows us who He is in the world and the people all around us. Let's open ourselves to notice. Let us pray. Dear God, You made us. You planned for us to grow and change. Help us each day to grow bigger and stronger in our bodies and minds and in our love for you. Help us to see your love in each other and in your big world. It is your love, God, that changes us and makes us better people. Amen. Okay, let's go to Sunday school.
And now we come to a time of offering. If you would like to go ahead and sign the red friendship pads in your pew and pass them down the row, we would appreciate it as the ushers are coming forward. We like to know who's here and we like to get to know our neighbors.
Thank you.
God, we thank you so much that all that we have to give is all that we have already been given from you. And you give to us abundantly. Lord, we pray that you would bless these our gifts and that you would use them to your honor and glory to build up your kingdom. We love you and we thank you so much for this privilege. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again. This time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. On this Sunday after Easter, we pick things up right where we left them off on Easter. God had raised Jesus from the dead, and Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, as we know, many believe, is the disciple John, have encountered for themselves the good news, the alleluias of Easter morning. It's here in verses 19 through 31 that we meet up with all the disciples, all except for Judas, on the evening of Easter, on the eve of Christ's resurrection. Here the 11 disciples are huddled together in a home, and in John's telling of what took place, he is clear as to why they are together and why they're meeting behind a locked doors. John recalls in his gospel that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. Well, who can blame them? Who can blame them for being afraid or for being terrorized by what had happened over the last 3 days? Surely they had heard an account from within their ranks of how Jesus had suffered and died on the cross. Some had seen it. We might even assume that they heard from Joseph of Arimathea of how he, along with Nicodemus, had laid Jesus' lifeless body in a borrowed tomb. Of course, fair or unfair, it's the disciple Thomas who bears the brunt of all the disciples' doubts and fears, if not along with ours. After all, having stepped away at perhaps the most inopportune time from the other disciples, when Jesus first appeared among them following his resurrection, Thomas is filled with doubt. His own cynicism to one degree or another. Having heard from the other disciples that Jesus had been risen from the dead. Rather infamously, Thomas is known for having declared, after being told by the disciples that Jesus is alive, "I won't believe it. I won't believe that you have seen Jesus risen from the dead unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and go so far as to put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wounds in his side." While Thomas and his response invite us to wrestle with our own fears, in our own doubts, in our lives, and in our faith, I wonder if the disciples and his response also invites us to consider our doubts and cynicism of others. Several years ago, I held a gym membership with Planet Fitness. Having reached the peak of my athletic prowess and abilities in middle school, I made the A team in seventh grade for one game. I was called up to the A team. And I didn't perform as well as I had hoped and my coaches had hoped, so I got knocked back down to the B team, and that was the peak of my athletic career. So with that being the case, I enjoyed Planet Fitness's ethos of being a judgment-free zone, right? Familiar with that heartbeat of Planet Fitness? Now, I really appreciated this until, you may have guessed it, the first of the year. So what happens at or around the time of January 1st? We see a sudden influx of traffic in the gyms. The gyms become overcrowded, filled with new members who are all in on the idea of new year, new you. There's this sudden surge of people in the gym. And with this, I found that more often than not, that my favorite treadmill in the gym was occupied. I found that I had to wait for the 150-pound set of dumbbells to do my bench press. Okay, if you know anything about bench presses, it wasn't 150 pounds. But I still had to wait for my dumbbells to do my set of bench presses. And more often than not, the person ahead of me never had the courtesy or perhaps understanding to simply wipe down the leg press machine after they were done. And so all I'm left to do at the beginning of the year is really to grin and bear it. to just wait it out until mid-February, when gym traffic will undoubtedly return to more typical levels, with most New Year's resolutions having languished just weeks into the new year. I could grin and bear it, or I could remember that not too long ago, I too was new to the gym and to working out, that I too had started my membership around the first of the year, that I too was part of the January surge. And I, too, was holding on to the hope that something could be different in my life if I started something new. On this first Sunday after each Easter, which churches refer to as Low Sunday due to the dramatic decrease in worship attendance following the excitement of Easter, our natural inclination is to indulge in our own doubts and cynicism of others. After all, with churches not bustling the way they did just 6 days ago, it's easy to be cynical. It's easy to doubt the sincerity and the faith of others. We might even fail, despite our best efforts, to be a judgment-free zone. The reality is, as a church today, we encounter this tendency and predisposition more and more. No longer just around Christmas and Easter. Because so much has changed where it comes to involvement in the church today, or simply weekly worship attendance. This is true over the course of the last 2 to 3 decades, or even just the past 4 years. We've seen a change in the church of regular attendance and what it means to be involved. And so we might consciously or even subconsciously doubt the sincerity of an individual who we might only see a dozen times a year. We might have our doubts about a family whose involvement in the church looks very different from when we were raised in the church decades ago. Today, we may even be cynical of someone whose beliefs or understandings simply don't entirely align with our own. Just as Thomas reminds us that doubt can exist within ourselves and our faith, we might also consider those times when doubt creeps into how we view one another in our view of others. So if doubt or a degree of cynicism are more and more inevitable today, how might we respond to this? How should we respond when we encounter our doubts and cynicism here in the church? Or how about when those creep up in us in our lives beyond the church? As it turns out, the disciple Thomas, by his doubt and cynicism, invites us to reflect on our own. After all, what's the nickname that we often assign to Thomas? Doubting Thomas. And so we say, sometimes jokingly, sometimes with a bit of truth behind it, oh, don't be a doubting Thomas. In other words, when faced with doubt and cynicism, whether within our faith journey or having these thoughts of others, as people of faith, we sometimes get uncomfortable or anxious when faced with doubt. Either we push it back with a little humor, or perhaps the opposite. We might indulge ourselves so that the onus or the burden of this doubt rests on the other, the ones we doubt or are cynical of. And yet Jesus' response, which I remind you, moves Thomas from doubt to belief. Jesus' response to all his disciples, including Thomas, beckons us to face our doubts and cynicism differently. Because if we look at his response in John chapter 20, in the face of Thomas's doubt and cynicism, Jesus is both calm and full of grace. Jesus responds to doubt and to cynicism with calm and grace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Three times this phrase appears in John's gospel. Each time these are Jesus' words. And each time they appear here in John chapter 20, where Jesus is interacting with his disciples following his death and resurrection, it's as if Jesus is both acknowledging the fear that fills the room while ushering a new era, a new time for his followers, having defeated death and having defeated sin when God had raised Jesus from the dead. And so right here and right now, Jesus is making good on what he promised earlier in John's gospel when he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Jesus here is making good on this promise. So how might we encounter our differences with others differently? How might we manage the tension that is inevitable today when we differ in our opinions, or in our thoughts, or our deeply held beliefs? How might we peaceably resolve conflict that is always going to be a part of being in relationship with others? It's always going to be a part of being in community with others. How might we respond differently, knowing the risen Lord greets us along with our doubt and cynicism, by saying, "Peace be with you." We find here that Jesus is also gracious. Alongside his peace, Jesus greets us with grace, offering to all his disciples, not just Thomas, to see for themselves the telltale signs of his crucifixion, to see his hands that had been wounded, or to see his side pierced by a spear. Jesus meets them all where they are, responding to their doubts by giving them every reason and opportunity and encouragement to believe. And so, what might we do differently with doubt and cynicism of the other? Whether in the church, whether in our community, or in our view of the world today. Indeed, as people of faith, it's uncomfortable to acknowledge that these feelings or that these thoughts exist, whether it's doubt, fear, or cynicism, that they exist within us. Certainly the inclination here is to ignore them or to pass them by, or at least to cast them in the direction of others, thinking of them as doubting Thomases. But what if we take his lead? What if, like Jesus, in the face of doubt and fears, we say to those around us, and we say to the other, peace be with you. May we lead with peace, meet doubt with grace, and see in others not just their differences, but the same worthiness that Jesus sees in us. Amen. Amen. As we gather this morning in prayer, we have some joy to share with you this morning. Today we celebrate the recent birth of Lincoln Thomas Hendricks. Lincoln's parents are Olivia Shelton and Jay Hendrick, and the proud grandparents are with us and smiling back at me, Colleen and Tim Shelton. Can we offer a word of congratulations to the Sheltons and Hendricks? So along with the white carnation on the altar in Lincoln's honor, we celebrate with the other carnations the recent births of Eliza Rosalie Milligan and also Adelie Grace Baker. So a lot of joy in the church to celebrate this season. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we recall the disciples huddled behind locked doors, and in particular, the disciple Thomas. John's words and his account of the resurrection invite us in, not only to be amongst themselves, but to consider our own doubts, our own fears, and perhaps how they fall upon others. God, you know the day and times that we live in. You know how easy it is to indeed grow cynical of others among us, to have our doubts. And yet in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we are shown how we might respond with peace and with grace. Indeed, O God, there is no questioning Thomas's change of heart, moving from doubt to belief. Indeed, O God, we know the blessings that come by having your love and by having your grace in our lives. Indeed, we know this to different degrees throughout the different seasons of our life. But also as we are in different places in our faith journey. Within the church and beyond, O God, help us to respond to our doubts and cynicism of others with the grace and peace of our risen Lord. Help us to exercise that within our faith, within our church, within our community, and within our world when we sometimes wrestle with issues and matters that sometimes cloud our view of who it is on the other side. Thank you for meeting us with grace and with peace. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us that we might follow in Jesus' footsteps. And indeed, O Lord, as we live our life together as a church and as a faith community, we celebrate new life in our families. Most recently, we celebrate the birth of Lincoln Thomas. And together as a church, we pray your blessings upon him, that he might know your peace, that he too might know your grace. We continue to celebrate the births of Eliza and Adelie and ask that you too would walk with them and their families. Lord, hear all this as we pray to you in the name of the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we close our time together, I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing song, Open Our Eyes. You'll find this in the Faith We Sing hymnal on page 2086 or the words will be in front of you on the screen. This past week, our Memorial Garden team was cleaning up our gardens, and they came across an Easter egg. Not from this Easter, but from an Easter or two ago. And there were jelly beans in the egg. And I must have been a little hungry because I was tempted to try them. I didn't. It's a reminder that Easter's alleluias continue to resonate, yes? Beyond Easter Sunday. And friends, in our excitement over Easter and in our faith, we're going to encounter people who know the good news differently. Perhaps they hold different beliefs. Perhaps that news is resounding differently in their lives. How do we lead with peace? How do we meet doubt with grace? I don't have the easy answers for that. But I know we find them in following in the footsteps of the one who is our risen Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Have a good week.